Happy 104. Hello and welcome to Charity Corner. I'm Rachel Goodfellow and I'm the founder of the Hidden Needs Trust. Through my work, I've been introduced to a wide range of small charities all supporting local causes. And in this regular monthly programme, I'm out and about finding out what local charities and good causes are up to. I visit a few key people and try to see firsthand how their hard work benefits others in the community. This month, I visited Future Roots Care Farm. This is founded by Julie Plumley in 2006. Future Roots is based just outside Sherborne in Holnest, and for over a decade, the Future Roots team have used farming in the countryside to provide effective solutions to health and social problems. I've visited the farm several times and was really lucky again to visit last week. So this month I'm at Future Roots Care Farm, and here is Julie Plumley, the founder, to tell us a bit more about it.
Yes, so Future Roots was founded, 10 years ago, to work with young people who were finding it difficult in school. And I was a social worker at the time. I'd worked in North Dorset for about 20 years as a social worker, and there were a lot of young people that weren't coping in school, and that's why we set it up.
The young people, how many do you have here? At one time?
So we have around 80 to 100 young people that come here a week. Around 20 to 30 schools we engage with now across Somerset and Dorset. So ranging from Christchurch to Bridport and into Yeovil.
That's a lot, isn't it? And how do you get the young people here in the first place? Are they referred, or can parents come direct to you?
Yeah, it was interesting because we set up and we thought that many of our young people would come here because they weren't coping in school, but they liked agriculture or they liked to work outside. But unfortunately, I'm afraid it's progressed that the City and Guilds qualification that they get when they're here, it no longer is worth points for schools. So the schools have stopped sending us the young people when they were sort of in the early stages of not coping at school, and now it tends to be when they're on the edge of exclusion. But also families do refer directly to us, and social services refer to us. And what I really need to say is not every young person that comes here is bad in any shape or form. It's just that young people don't cope in school for whatever reason.
Absolutely, and there are a whole, you know, variety of reasons for that, definitely, aren't there? When they're here, how long do they normally stay here with you?
Can be from 2 hours to 4 hours, and it can be once to three times a week. It's got to be under 20 hours because otherwise we'd have to be registered as a school. Right. But now they can do City and Guilds, they can do the Jamie Oliver hospitality catering, they can do their functional skills, maths and English, and they can do a building skills course. And we're just about to work with Weymouth College, which is to do like a peer mentoring scheme, which is helping them learn about relationships.
Right, right. And because, of course, all that social side and the communication is as vital as anything, isn't it? So, and especially if they've been in a very uncomfortable position before in school, and that sort of communication has been broken down.
They've given, a lot of them have given up hope. You know, for some young people, you're in school, if you've been excluded from your family or having a tough time with your family, that's bad enough. And then you go into school and it's, I don't belong here either, nobody wants me here either, then actually that's huge, isn't it? You know, that's a whole massive area of their life that they feel they're not good enough, they can't cope, and they're never going to get it right. Whereas actually, every young person we've met wants to learn. Every young person can get it right with the right opportunity. Most of them have got the same things that they need. They all want to belong somewhere. They all want to feel they can achieve and be needed and feel safe.
Yeah, so, and of course, with all that comes their self-esteem that goes up and up and up, and then they can actually manage in life and make decisions and, you know, good choices. What are the future plans here now?
So the plans is for sustainability of Future Roots, even beyond me. I'm 55 now, and I'm planning for when I'm 65, and I'll be this older lady that still interferes, but Future Roots still goes on. And to do that, we have to keep moving with the times and moving with the gaps and the needs of the communities. And in the, well, it's 35 years as a social worker, I would say it's changed an awful lot. And some of the things we're looking at now, like exploitation, that wasn't around 25 years ago in this area. Whether it was in inner cities, I don't know. I've always worked in Dorset, but we have to move with those times, so we're setting up projects that help with that.
What sort of projects are you doing?
Because we're saying that young people are often excluded from school, those young people are extremely vulnerable to the county lines type situations, which is where the London gangs come down to rural areas, country areas, and hang around, the sort of 19, 20 year old cool looking dudes, if you like. And our young people who aren't at school are vulnerable to the, to feeling that they might belong to them. So we've got projects where we're trying to help those young people. Also as part of that, so that's the sense of belonging. They need to belong to their communities as well as to us. So it's all very well that they come here and go, yep, I feel safe here, I can achieve here and I belong here. But actually, we need our Sherborne, our Yeovil, our communities. We need them to belong in those communities. And a lot of them feel so, so separate. Yes. You know, they don't feel like they belong.
With this new project, what sort of age group are you particularly interested in moving this project with?
From 12 years, so I think from upper school, from the 12-year-olds upwards. It tends to be 12 to 14, 16, the troubles start coming out, where so you leave primary school and go to the upper schools. And the upper schools are very different these days, aren't they? The academies can do very different things, and some are absolutely amazing, and some are not quite so good with young people who have special needs or young people who are experiencing loss and trauma. So each school is very, very different. So 12 years old, I would say, to 16.
Right, okay. And what's the upper age that you have here?
Well, the upper age, so we go right through now. What we would say is children who are looked after in care should get support services until they're 25. So we should work with all of those young people right the way through to 25. Well, that crosses over to work with our young men, with our Countrymen's Club, and they can come from 18 years old right up to 95, I think, is our oldest at the moment. But if they were 100, they could come if they wanted to.
Right. So explain to me briefly, what's the difference between the Countrymen's Club? Obviously, it's just men.
Just men?
It is, but that's one of those things as well. The Countrymen's Club is just men, but we were looking at only recently, actually, the last, I'd say, 3 weeks, this has been a new project I've been evolving, I've got to find funding for, was a young lad. So we've got the Countrymen's Club, but we think we should have a young men's rural club. Yeah. Because, again, the Countrymen's Club is about men being men, leaving diagnosis at the gate. So if they've got dementia or Parkinson's or had a stroke or just lonely, the men can come here together. And it's like the camaraderie.
Yes.
They help each other. They don't need the sort of like carer type approach. We're enablers. So we'll enable them to put their wellies on, but we're not the pat you on the head and sit you in a chair type organisation. So the men can do whatever they feel is possible. And actually what happens is they'll follow the other men. So if you've got some men sawing and somebody with dementia saying, oh, I can't do that anymore, I've been told I can't do that anymore. If they watch a man do it, they start doing it. And actually, their potential is still limitless.
Yes.
If they're given the opportunity.
Yes, I can imagine.
With the Countrymen's Club, you're now thinking about a younger men's related club. So basically, if you were a young lad here, you could then move on into the next group up, if you like.
You could, and there's very different groups. So we've got the young lads group I'm looking at the moment is particularly for the exploitation and knife crime and drugs and feeling that they can't get a job. So it's for those young men. I'm wondering, at the moment we have mixed groups, but I'm actually thinking if I had a group of 5 or 6 lads here around 14, 15 years old, whether they would feel safer to talk about the concerns they've got in the community, concerns about getting a job, concerns about relationships with girls. And as it is with the men, they would have more fun and feel more comfortable exposing their feelings. So we haven't tried it, but I'd like to.
So what's needed for you to enable this to happen?
I think what's needed is a recognition in Dorset that we have got this issue. And I think that's becoming, it's more out there with the county lines being exposed on the news. But I do think We have to acknowledge that in Sherborne, in Yeovil, in Dorchester, in Weymouth, we have a county lines problem. We have a problem where young people who are vulnerable in any way can be exposed to people who know what they're doing and can attract them and make them feel special. So that's the first thing. Second thing is Future Roots need to get the bid. So I need to get myself in gear, if you like, to be able to write the bids to get funding to do this, because I think it's a growing issue, a horrendous issue and a very costly issue to the community and to the families that lose their sons to these sorts of problems.
Yes.
When you're actually applying for these funding, are there different pots of funding that you can apply to or for?
There are. I mean, we've been really lucky with the lottery with the Countrymen's Club. So the Countrymen's Club is going to be extended across the UK. So no man will be shut in a day centre ever again if he doesn't want to. So that's my aim, is that every man that's of a certain age or from 20 years old, instead of having to go to traditional day centres, which are great for some people, I'm certainly not knocking them, but for many people, especially men, they want to be outside, they want to feel the seasons, they want to feel the rain, they want to feel the sunshine, and they want to be doing things to be able to talk. And you know, my aim is that every man will get that wants to get that. And the lottery have been pretty good at supporting us with the older people. I've not been quite so lucky, or I've not been quite so able to get my words down for the young people enough to get that sort of funding, because that's it's a huge job. You know, working with these young people, we need to have an outreach out of our service. You know, social services cutbacks, health cutbacks, police cutbacks. Actually, we need to be available to these lads at midnight when they're stoned, or when they're out not wanting to go home, or, you know, or they've done something wrong and they need somebody to talk to. We need to be there for them at those hours. So it's a big pot of money, but it would be worth it in the long run.
So it's a massive project you're undertaking.
It will be huge. But I think funny enough, the experience of working with the Countrymen, I think that's given us an awful lot of insight. I mean, I'm a woman here talking about men, which I always think seems really weird. But I was brought up on a farm and I was brought up in a man's world. And even though I haven't got brothers, my whole life was around Dad and his helpers. And it was just listening in. I was earwigging all the time about in the man's world. I wasn't actually part of it, but I learned a lot when I was young. And I guess I still listen to the men now.
Anyway, the Countrymen's going UK-wide.
Yeah, definitely. We've got the funding for that.
So does that mean that farms right across the UK who are interested could potentially contact you? Or?
Yeah. We're actually starting with care farms that are out there that have all the quality assurance, because we want to get them underway quite quickly. So we'd like any care farm that's already doing something for somebody. They could be working with young people, working with adults with learning disabilities, a variety of different things. But we particularly like those care farms to come forward initially, because I think that they'll have some of the quality assurance and policies they need. But our franchise operation is to really help them move forward with it and make sure that they are perfect and that our Countrymen will get just what they need. And we really want one in city farms as well. You know, we'd like one in London.
Yes.
Because there's men that would have cycled to work.
Yes.
And actually, those men might love to be outside and not be in a traditional day centre.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Because, of course, all this is about reminiscence therapy, isn't it, really? Because to actually have somebody that had loads and loads of skills and then expect them not to use them at all is awful. And of course, it can bring them back into up to date life, can't it?
Yes, it absolutely. And a lot of these men don't want to be taken back in the historical sense of us saying years ago you did this.
No.
They want to be in the future still.
Yes,
but so they want to go forward. They want to be in the future, but the skills they had need to be still need to be opportunities for them to be able to do them.
Yes.
Well, Julie, it's absolutely fascinating, and thank you so much for your time. Well, I'm actually standing in the sort of courtyard area of Future Roots Care Farm, and we have three of the Countrymen here. Hello.
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 So who are you?
I'm Jeff.
Hello, Jeff. Good to see you. And how many times do you come here, you know, generally? Do you come each week?
Once a week, yeah.
Right, okay. What do you like doing?
Do the feeding of the cattle.
Right.
Goats.
Right. Right.
And there is other animals as well.
Right. Okay. Hello, Dan. Hello. And you come once a week as well?
No, I come Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays.
Right, three times. Okay.
And the weekends to water the flowers as well.
Do you?
After all the flowers and whatnot.
Oh, wow. That's good.
I don't have to, but I do.
Good for you. So have you got far to come? Or?
No, it's only Sherborne.
Oh, right. Okay. So a local lad.
Local lad. No, local I wasn't. Lad. No. I'm not local. I came here from Essex.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So
I was told I'd got a job down in... I thought they said Cherbourg in France. I said, I've never been to France, so...
you ended up in Cherbourg?
I finished up in Dorset, so...
Brilliant. But it's lovely, isn't it?
It's a lovely place. I've been here since the 70s. We came here to Dredgeley Lake.
Right.
So we came in.
Okay. And who's this gentleman over here?
Leo, my name is. Yeah.
So again, how long have you been coming to the Countryman's Club?
Not too long.
Right, okay. No. And have you got far to come? Or?
Yes, we have rather a long way, Somerton.
Right, okay. Mm. But it's worth it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely worth it.
So what to have the dinner like.
Yeah, I can smell it from here. So what do you do in the afternoons?
Feed the pig.
Right.
And cut up the things. Sometimes they cut my finger.
Oh, that's not so sensible. Well, was that in the woodwork sort of shed?
That's only because my finger's in the way.
Oh, right, okay.
Not intentional.
Well, it's a good idea not for it to be in the way, isn't it? If you can help it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I think your dinner is about to come. So thank you very much for talking us all.
It's a wonderful place over here.
It is absolutely well recommended.
I think Julie needs an MBA or something.
Well, what an absolutely wonderful place that was. And yes, I totally agree. I think Julie does need some recognition, and maybe in the future she'll get it. And if you wondered what all the noise was in the background, well, I had taken along my little girl who's got special needs, and she was playing with Lego. There you go. And she was playing with Lego rather than letting all the sheep, donkeys, pigs and cattle mingle together. So... sorry about the noise. Anyway, if you want to know more about this wonderful place, get onto the website at www.futureroots.net. And of course, you can also follow them on Twitter at futureroots.net and on Facebook. And of course, all the contact details for the charities featured on the show can be found on my website, www.hiddenneedstrust.org, and of course, on the Abbey 104 website. And if you want your charity promoted or you want to become the featured charity of the month, just get onto my website and get in touch because all my contact details are there. Anyway, right, let's have a look and see what's going on in the next couple of weeks or so. Well, today, if you're interested in going out and about, at the Geranium Trust, which is at Court House in Stoford, they've got their gardens open. And I was very lucky to go along yesterday. Wonderful teas, cakes, tombola, raffle, books and lots more. And of course, the chance to walk around the beautiful gardens and meadow. And it's only £2 for an adult to go in. And all the money is going to... where's it going to, Terry?
It's going jointly to the Geranium Trust and St Margaret's Hospice.
That's right, yes. So, and it's open till 4. And in fact, you were there yesterday,
I was there for a couple of hours in the afternoon.
It was lovely.
Very pleasant it was. It's a wonderful little site, isn't it?
It's
and the
stunning
views out over Stoford are terrific and the garden's lovely. And of course, it was sunny yesterday and it's sunny today, so it's going to be glorious.
It was absolutely wonderful. And of course, if Paul's out and about as well, which he will be, you can always go along and ask him more about the Geranium Trust. And of course, the ladies about the hospice. And at the same time this afternoon, between 2 and 6, there's a garden open at Staverdale House in Nethercompton. And the admission's £5, but that includes tea and cake. And again, raising money for St Margaret's Hospice. And then moving into next week, right, I've got to give this a big plug. Because on Thursday the 14th, I'm going to be at Sainsbury's in Sherborne as Hidden Needs Trust. But not only to promote Hidden Needs Trust, which supports children with special needs and their families across Dorset and Somerset, but also the Sherborne Summer Festival, which is going to be happening the following Saturday. That's Saturday, June 16th. And I will be there with brochures, hopefully, and also the racing wheelchair that I'm doing my marathon on. And there's going to be a raffle. And if anybody wants to come and do some bag packing to get money in the HNT pot, that would be absolutely brilliant. So,
I think I'm busy that day.
No, you're not. None of the Abbey team are busy that day. They're all going to be there, bagpacking. It's great fun.
It is.
It's and really good fun, actually.
Of course, Sherborne Summer Festival is a fantastic event, isn't it? I think we mentioned it last time, didn't we?
But, yeah.
It's a really good day, and a lot of hard work goes in by a lot of people to make it what it is.
It does, and we're hoping it's going to be really nice weather. But as I say, if you can get down to Sherborne, the brochures will be there, and we can tell you more about it as well. So, and if you can't get there, hopefully we'll see you on Saturday the 16th, anytime from 12 o'clock onwards. Lots of music, lots of fun, really family orientated. So come along if you can. Free Definitely. Event as well, isn't
and
it?
And you're there doing a challenge, Rachel.
I'm doing this stupid wheelchair marathon. Well, no, it's not stupid. It's to raise good money for good cause against the para athlete Ebony. So there you go. Come and have a look. And
Ebony is a real life para athlete who's competed at national level.
Well, I'm not quite sure what level she's competed at, but she's certainly a sprint wheelchair racer, tennis player, and thrower. And when you go and see all her variety of wheelchairs, you take a big gulp, you know. So it'll be fantastic. And of course, people can come and have photographs with her. They won't want one of me, but they can perch by my wheelchair when we finish and have photos. So there you go. But anyway, in the meantime, come along if you can support, and hopefully we'll see you in a month's time.
Absolutely.
Okay, bye.